We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
This morning, if you got your Bibles, we're gonna read a lot. Okay, I'm going to go and tell you, we're going to read a lot, because I want the Word to convict us, not words. And we've been looking at signs of a healthy church. Last week, I appreciate Brother Mark, actually, that conversation of encouragement. A healthy church encourages one another. A healthy Christian encourages one another, encourages those around him. We've looked at a healthy church stays in the Word, a healthy church prays, a healthy church is united, a healthy church perseveres. This morning is one that, again, may not be so much our context right here, our community, our world, but where we go off to when we leave this place and we go back to our lives tomorrow. Healthy church, healthy Christian serves. Serves. Think about where you serve. And, you know, if we're not careful, what happens is we have a place we serve, or a position we serve, or a spot, and that's sort of our service place. But if we're honest, we're there how often? A little bit? Like 30 minutes, an hour, 45 minutes, a couple hours a week max, a couple hours a month. But a healthy Christian, a healthy church serves. Where do we get that from? I want us to let the Word of God, the Bible, go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Our students, I want all of you, if you haven't, if you're on the forum, go listen to that post that Casey forwarded. And you'll hear, read Casey's little blurb above it, his little commentary of it, and listen to what the guy says. Service is not normal. I'm going to be honest. I was went to get the kids, those two, there's two of them. Went to get them yesterday. We're leaving. Pray for us. We drive after second service. We drive to Dallas to Southern Baptist Convention. Pray for all the messengers that will be driving or flying or going from all over the country into Dallas. The Southern Baptist Convention is this week. That's where we'll be. And as I was going to get them, I was thinking about this whole service thing and this whole concept. You know, the guy, and I want you to go listen to what he says. It's mind-boggling in people's eyes that the church actually serves. Why would students from Northport, Alabama, go all the way to Chattanooga to paint a fire station? Because here's the thing. How many fire stations, and this is what I was thinking about as I was driving up there. Y'all, there's a lot of stuff around here we could do, but here's what most folks do. We charge. We'll do it if you pay us. I ain't doing that for free. But their kids will drive from Chattanooga to paint our fire stations or paint our school floors and paint our walls and scratch our paint off of sides of stuff. And we call it service. But when we look around like neighbor's yard, think about it. Our kids will travel, and we pat ourselves on the back and call it service. They are serving. Our kids will take and we're great when our youth are out in the community serving. Oh, they cut the neighbor's yard, or they mulched the school, or they did. Just think of all the things that they've done over the years that you've been around churches. And what they'll do is they'll drive kids from They'll drive students, youth pastors and preachers and everybody else. We look for things for them to do, and we'll take them states away when Christians are next door, when Christians are neighbors, when Christians are Sunday school class members. Well, maybe you'll get it fixed. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe a chainsaw crew will come through. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it'll just kind of fall off or something and kind of disintegrate. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Look at what Jesus does here. Chapter 13 of John, beginning in verse 1. I like this. This whole little, it's like a commentary John gives. It's a tongue twister, actually. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel of which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." And Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he had said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Who was in attendance around that room? The disciples. We all point out Judas. Judas was there. Jesus washed the actual man who was betraying him to death. He washed his feet. But Peter also was there. Remember, Peter denied him. Peter turned his back on him. Peter, the one who was going to turn his back on him, who was going to deny him, who was going to sit there three times before the rooster crowed to all these little girls around the fire saying, "No, I don't know him. No, I don't know him." And even cursed and said, "I have nothing to do with this man." Jesus washed his feet. Also, Thomas was there. Doubting Thomas was there. People that doubted him was there. People that denied him was there. People that was betraying him was there. And he washed every one of their feet. Healthy church serves. Healthy Christians serve. Yeah, but there, I don't like them. Jesus washed the feet of people who denied him, who doubted him, and who betrayed him. He said, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Look over with me at Acts chapter 6. Early on in the book of Acts, this church is doing really good. Ananias and Sapphira, they deal with it pretty quickly. You get to chapter 6, this is always a deacon conversation. This is always used when you start talking about deacons and I would say the qualifications of a deacon, because the best qualification you can possibly find is found right here in chapter 6 of the book of Acts. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Not that we're too good. It's just we got to do the word. Somebody's got to serve." That was the context here. And notice the qualifications. Before any Christian says, "Hey, this doesn't apply to me," when it comes to the conversation of serving, look at who they were looking for. "Therefore, brethren," verse 3, "select from among you 7 men good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, that we may put in charge of this task." Guys, that should be every single one of us as a Christian. That should be, look, he has a good reputation, he's full of the Spirit and wisdom. That's us. That's a believer. That is a person who is doing it. That is a person who is walking in obedience. He has a good reputation. He's full of the Spirit and of wisdom. God is using that person. And those are the men, those are the individuals that God used to squelch and deal with what's going on. But we'll devote ourselves, verse 4. Notice what happens. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And look, verse 5. "This statement found approval with the whole congregation." Everybody's like, "Yes, that's exactly right. We need people who are going to serve, who have a good reputation. They're full of the Spirit and wisdom. Those are the people that we want serving." That's us as Christians. And God, what does God do in response? God picks them. Verse 7, "The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." When the church serves, when the church does what it's simply supposed to do, when the Christians do what they're simply supposed to do, I tell you, go listen to that podcast. It's maybe 5 minutes. The world notices. It's strange. How sad is it that it's strange that we do right? How weird is it that it's shocking that Christians do what Christians are called to do? It blows people's mind. "Wow, that was amazing. We're so appreciative." But it's just what we're called to do. Look over in Romans. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, and let's read. "Let the word explain it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice." Every single day that you and I wake up, we give ourselves, "Hello, Lord, I am a living sacrifice here to serve, willing to do whatever you call me to do. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have a sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function," okay, here's the deal. We all serve differently. We all have different giftings and abilities, but we all have something. There's no one that's immune. A healthy Christian has something that they're to be doing, and I can guarantee you it's probably not just 30 minutes a month or quarter volunteering to read to some kids at some library. But oftentimes we'll post that and we'll pat ourselves on the back for that good social deed we did. For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Listen to this. Listen. Let's read it. Let the Spirit, listen to what the Bible says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. You know what? You could take that in this context. Let love be without hypocrisy. I'll help you if I know I'm going to be helped back. I'll help you if I like you. I'll help you if you look like me. I'll help you if you're from my side of the tracks. Or around here, let me be honest, I'll help you if you're from my school. And you know what I've learned almost being here 5 years? That's not just in the youth room. That's in the big box. If you go to the right school or went to my school, there's adults in this room that don't like other adults in this room just because of the school affiliation they had 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. That's foolish. Pure foolishness. But it trickles down to our segregated student ministry. And we wonder, oh, wow, we didn't know that. We didn't know it was that bad. Well, it's sort of one of those hypocritical things that we just do and don't care. But Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Listen to this. Listen to this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I think that's probably what Jesus did when he washed Judas's feet. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible. Okay, I give you, here's the caveat. If possible, you do all that you can do. If possible. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I'll replace pay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, what did Jesus do to Judas's feet? He washed them. What did Jesus do to aggravating Peter's feet? He washed them. What did Jesus do to doubting Thomas's feet? He washed them. What did he do with all the rest of those hard heads around the room? He washed them. What did he do to us? He died for us. But if your enemy's hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For if he, in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Look over in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Let the Spirit of the God, Lord, move in you as you hear the word of God. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and those on earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look over with me to James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. It's what the Bible says. There's one thing to talk it. There's another thing to walk it. A healthy church, a healthy Christian serves to the best of your ability, as far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. Chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abram believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. A Christian does, not because, not to earn, not to get, not to be. We do it because of Christ. We do it because of who we are in Christ. We do it because of what he's done. We don't do it to get anything. We do it because we can. We do it because we get the privilege to. Look over with me. Last place, Matthew chapter 20. One verse. Actually, a couple of verses. Let's read them all. Beginning in verse 24. And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. Listen to this. This is what the Bible says. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. And whoever, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Our Savior was a servant. We are most like Christ when we're serving. My challenge, application, examination, question is, Casey, Rob, I have one. I don't wear it much. Got this shirt. 1/168 ain't enough. Is that the right number? 1/168 ain't enough. That means 1 hour of an entire week just ain't enough. And the point of that is you bring us your kids for 1 hour, or you bring us your youth for 1 hour, or you bring us your body for just 1 hour out of the entire week, and that's not enough. You know, if we're not careful, what we've done with the word serve, we've got serve days. We got serve shirts. We've got serve committee. We've got, you see what I'm saying? It ain't serve day. We'll get around to it on serve day. I serve, notice this, I serve at my local X. I serve in my church. I serve in, and what we've done is we've put service in a, of all of this room, of all of this room, I plant, you plant, we plant, serve right there. There, serve. It's not here. 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 This is my serve. This is my serve hat. This is my serve shirt. This is my serve trip. You see my point? That's not biblical. Father God, oh wretched men that we are, help us. Help us live our lives in a way that honors you. Help us live our lives in a way that brings you glory. Examine our walks. Examine our time. Examine our schedules. Examine our motives. Examine our all that, Lord. Help us, God, to bring you glory and line our lives up, not with the whims and the ways of the world, but according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.